Yeah, that one was really high. Either had to choose to be really low or really high. That's why I thought we were going to do it a little.
You can change it somewhere. I think that's where we practiced it, though, yesterday, was it not?
I wrote down C sharp.
C sharp? We have that for Amazing Grace.
Yeah, I had that for those. Yeah, I had A for America the Beautiful and then C sharp for the other two.
Okay, let's see. Let me see. Because I was listening to the. Did we take a voice memo for this one? Yesterday, I'm pretty sure. Let's go through here and see see what happens. So,
tomorrow,
and in
anyway.
The beginning, I can just keep going. Like,
hope you beautiful for stay.
Beautiful. You may have a seat. Well, those of you who know me well enough know that I'm always looking for an excuse to get out and about, explore, travel, any of those kinds of things. And looking back on so many of the blessings that God has given me, on two separate times, I was able to lead youth trips from Trinity here to Boston. One time in the summer of 92, and then also one in 2012. This is our group that went in 2012. Hey, Nick, you were part of that trip. And then this other group, too, this other picture. Just we had a great time of serving there in the city back in those days. Boston is an amazing place if you've ever been there. And if you haven't, I encourage you to go. In Boston, there's a thing called the Freedom Trail. It's 2.5 mile long path along kind of the streets of downtown Boston that passes by 16 different locations significant to the history of the United States. Here's a map of the Freedom Trail. It kind of goes from Boston Common all the way up north there to Bunker Hill Monument. And you always know where you're at because you follow the trail. And the trail basically is marked with the brick road here, you can see. I think there's the brick trail. The brick trail, and you just kind of follow the path. It's not a yellow brick road, but it's a red brick road. And it was originally conceived by a local journalist. So back in 1951, he suggested building this pedestrian trail to link all the local landmarks. The mayor thought it was a great idea and put it into an effect. And by 1953, about 40,000 people were walking the trail annually. As I said, there's like 16 different places along the way. I just want to highlight just a couple of them and show you some pictures of them. It kind of starts there at Boston Common. It's a public park kind of created in 1634. It's the oldest city park in the United States. British troops kind of camped out in this park prior to the American Revolutionary War. Park Street Church, a beautiful building. And because of some of the leadership in that church and things happened in and things were held there, it played a key role in the movement to abolish slavery in our country. The Granary Burying Ground Cemetery is the third oldest cemetery in Boston. It started in 1660. Buried there is Paul Revere. You can see his grave marker there. Also, the five victims of the Boston Massacre, three signers of the Declaration of Independence, Samuel Adams, John Hancock, Robert Payne, all buried in that cemetery. The Old South Meeting House, Congregational Church, is a beautiful building, and it was kind of the organizing point where they had meetings to put into play, as we know it, the Boston Tea Party. The Old State House, one of the oldest public buildings in the United States. It was right outside of that building in March of 1770 that the Boston Massacre took place. But on the other side, on the other entrance side, on the back side, on July 8th, 1776, the Declaration of Independence was proclaimed there as that was read about what had been signed. Faneuil Hall, built in 1743, it was a marketplace, it was a meeting hall. It came to be known as kind of the cradle of liberty because of all the rallies and the famous speeches that encouraged freedom that came from that particular place. The famous phrase, you know, no taxation without representation. Then there's the famous Old North Church. It's a beautiful church, too. And then inside is really beautiful to go inside and see it. That's the famous church, you know, where the two lanterns were hung, you know, one by land, two by sea. And the two lanterns were hung. Yeah, the British are coming, the British are coming. And Paul Revere took off on his ride. Didn't put it in the slideshow, but you can also see where Paul Revere lived. His home is on that walk. And then it wraps up at the Bunker Hill Monument, from the Battle of Bunker Hill, Breed's Hill, one of the first major battles between the British and the Patriot forces, and that monument there recognizes the area. But from there, we actually go a little further away to what happened in this place at Independence Hall in Philadelphia, because it was what happened inside this building, as the room shows there. We know what happened. And the famous statement that was read: "We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America and General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do, in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of a right ought to be free and independent states, that they be absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connections between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved." It's a statement from the last paragraph in the Declaration of Independence. It was read and signed there, July 4, 1776. So the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America, read and signed by 56 people. 56 courageous men who signed the document understood the reality of what was probably going to happen. Because they knew if they succeeded, the best they could expect would be years of hardship starting this new experiment of a nation. But it's about liberty. It's about freedom. Two things many people in the world don't get to experience every day. We experience them in our nation somewhat. Other people in other parts of the world, they struggle with this concept all the time because they don't really understand it or know it. I'm blessed, I think, just because of where I have been able to travel to, what I've been able to see and experience and witness. Because I have had the privilege of standing in the Pennsylvania State House or Independence Hall to see where the Declaration of Independence was signed and the Constitution was adopted. I've seen the Liberty Bell. I've stood in the National Archives and have seen the original Declaration of Independence and Constitution. I've walked around the grounds of Arlington National Cemetery. I visited the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And there you get the in-your-face reality of the cost of freedom. I've seen Plymouth Plantation and visited the graves of many of the first pilgrims who came here in 1620 looking for a place to be free. I've seen and actually been inside the Statue of Liberty, walked around Ellis Island, the symbol where people come to say, "We want something different, we want something better." I have walked the Freedom Trail there in Boston. But I've also seen places where slaves were sold, and where slaves worked, and where slaves lived. And you come to reality that some people never got to experience a certain type of freedom. But I've also seen and been on Civil War battlefields where people fought and died to bring an end to slavery. And I've also been in the Holocaust museums in Los Angeles and Houston and Washington, D.C., and I saw what the lack of freedom and liberty looks like. And in all of those places, as I look back and reflect on those experiences, things I read, things I saw, things I came to know, there's spiritual lessons in all of it. And it really is all about freedom. Because I think within every single human being, there is a longing or a desire to know this thing called freedom And to be free, it's great to be free, but free from what? Today, freedom is defined in all kinds of ways and by different kinds of people. For some, freedom is it's personal, or it's physical, or it's political, or it's moral, or it's sexual, or it's emotional. But also, it's great to be free as a person spiritually and to understand what it means to be liberated and be a part of and living in the kingdom of God. And in that quest for freedom, I think Jesus understood what is within all of us, and that's why he said in a very profound way where this freedom truly can come from. And in John 8, he says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then, he says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. It's great to know freedom in Christ. In Christ, it's a freedom from and also a freedom for. To know freedom in Christ means you are free from the bondage of sin and death, but also you are free from the tyrant that seeks to control you and keep you in bondage. As I reread the Declaration of Independence this past week, I found that Thomas Jefferson, in 27 separate paragraphs, itemized the tyrannies of King George III of Great Britain. And for those people, it was time to be free of that, independent of that. So it happened 245 years ago today in Philadelphia as a great illustration of what Christ came to do for us. And if you think about it, all of Scripture is actually a freedom trail of stories showing us a bigger story that reveals our deliverance. Because it was at great cost that Christ set out to liberate and free us from the tyranny of sin. A revolutionary war had to be fought in the spiritual realm to win our independence and to get our freedom. It cost God his Son's blood and life. And Christ has paid the price. He has won for us the right to be his sons and daughters. Through Christ, we can be right with God. There's a group of people, it's kind of an organization here in the United States, they're called the Daughters of the American Revolution. It's a lineage-based membership, meaning it's open to those who can prove lineal bloodline descent from an ancestor who aided in achieving United States independence. But you see, as Christians, we are daughters and sons of the revolution through our baptism, which has linked us to Christ. And so we have something to live and proclaim. I think John Quincy Adams' words are very fitting for us as Christians and as Americans. This is a very profound statement that he wrote. You will never know how much it has cost my generation to preserve your freedom. I hope you will make good use of it. I hope you will make good use of it if you really knew what was at stake and what we ought did. Yeah, we have been declared free. We're free from. But you see, that freedom takes its fullest form when we realize that we are not just free from to and then indulge in whatever we want to do. I'm free, just get off my back, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. That is not the attitude of the founding fathers. That is not the attitude of what Christ proclaimed in John 8. We experience a form of liberation and freedom for the benefit of the common good, for the benefit, for the love of neighbor, for what that means for us to live a certain way, to live in freedom. It's how we live as citizens in the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of heaven. So freedom is something to hold with the highest appreciation and respect. The scripture, Leviticus 25:10, is inscribed on the side of the Liberty Bell. Proclaim liberty throughout the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. Proclaim this. Proclaim liberty. And I think as we proclaim liberty, as we make it known what real, true liberty is and what real, true freedom is and where that comes from, we understand with great gratitude what that is, but also remember all the sacrifice that went into making that possible. Not so we can just go and do whatever we want to do, but rather for the benefit of what it means to have a great society and what it means to live, to serve one another in the name of Christ and love our neighbor and for the common good, to understand what a gift it is for. That's how we recognize the gift that's been given to us and the sacrifices went in to give it to us. Again, it's a dual thing. What it means for us as citizens of the United States, but also ultimately, too, what it means for us who are part of the kingdom of God and the great cost that went into both so that we can be free. It's great to be free. Let's use that freedom to serve, to share, to love, and to bring honor and glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father,